What's up, everybody? It's Megan here with the Student Loan Planner Podcast. And yes, my voice is still cracking because yes, it is still pollen season here in Georgia. I'm getting through it. Today, I want to chat about what the heck are quarterly estimated taxes. If you have ever been surprised by a big tax bill, or even worse, a penalty, this episode is going to be for you. Because today, I want to break down what quarterly estimated taxes are, who needs to be paying them, and how to stay ahead without overpaying. This is timely because we just wrapped up tax season. Thank goodness. April 15th is when taxes were due and when we had to either file or submit for an extension of our taxes. So this is definitely kind of a stressful time for a lot of people because it's just something we don't do all the time, right? You don't file taxes every week, every month. It's once a year. So when the time comes around, it can be pretty stressful. Something that's been a big mystery for a lot of folks is quarterly estimated taxes. Let's talk about our tax system for a second. Our tax system is something that we pay into on an ongoing basis throughout the year, right? Our income taxes, our federal and state income taxes. If you are a W-2 employee, these taxes get paid every time you get paid from your job. Your payroll company will take those taxes from your paycheck and go ahead and send them off to the federal government and to your state entity, if applicable. You lucky ducks if you don't have state taxes like Texas or Tennessee or Florida. You have other taxes, other places though that make up for it. But anyway, so you get the idea. You get paid, your taxes get paid right then and there. What happens though if you are a 1099 person, you have some self-employment income, or you have a job that does not take taxes from your paycheck? You are someone who is going to have to save and prepare to pay those taxes on your own. Payments are supposed to be made to the IRS throughout the year on income that's not subject to withholding. So either your employer is not withholding it or you are not specifically withholding it and paying it every time you get paid from a vendor or something or from a customer or client. Examples of income that triggers this and examples of people who probably need to be paying attention to this and paying quarterly estimated taxes throughout the year are folks that have 1099 income. So contractors, if you got speaking gigs or just gig workers in general, if you do some moonlighting, if you have side hustles or private practices that are not part of your W-2 income. You have business income, so if you're an S corporation or a sole proprietor or an LLC, if you have investment income, so this is sometimes a little unknown and may not be as impactful because investment income may not be a very huge piece of your income over the course of the year, but interest income, dividends income, capital gains, these things, if they're large enough, can certainly create a tax consequence. W-2 only folks. So let's say you're a W-2 only person. You only have one job or two jobs that just pay you, you get a W-2 at the end of the year. You might actually still owe taxes if you under withheld over the course of the year. So maybe something's up with your W-4 or you're receiving very large bonuses that maybe the bonus itself is not being taxed appropriately or not estimated appropriately. That's kind of the skinny on who may have quarterly taxes or quarterly estimated taxes or payments throughout the year, or who might be encouraged to be making quarterly estimated taxes throughout the year. So we're talking about 2025 quarterly estimated taxes at this point, because if you owed taxes for 2024, those were due April 15th. Even if you filed an extension. So if you did not pay taxes April 15th and you knew that you owed, make sure to do that because there are penalties and fees associated with being late on what you owe. We'll talk a lot more about that to come. All right. So we talked about kind of the types of income that might be triggers for needing to pay quarterly estimated taxes. Who needs to pay them? The IRS general rule for who needs to be paying quarterly estimated taxes. If you owe $1,000 or more in tax for the year after withholding and credits, if you're still expected to owe, I should say. So if you're expected to owe $1,000 or more, and there's a couple ways that you can figure this out, we'll talk about. But if you're expected to owe $1,000 or more at the end of the year, after all the withholdings and credits go into play, then you are someone who probably needs to be setting up quarterly payments or adjusting your W-4. High income earners are often affected because W-2 withholdings are almost always based on your base salary, not bonuses or not other forms of compensation like RSUs, restricted stock units. You could also be affected if you have multiple income streams. This creates more complexity because one job, maybe let's say you have a W-2 job at one location, you have another W-2 job, or you have a side gig that you're doing that's earning income. The withholdings that are being taken from your W-2 job don't know about the other jobs or the other sources of income that you have. So it's only estimating what it thinks you're going to be owing in taxes by the end of the year off of that one job, if that makes sense. It's not like taking into account those other income sources. So if you have multiple income sources, this is where the withholdings can be a little more complex because we have to take into account what other income we're earning to appropriately estimate how much we're going to have to pay in tax each quarter and ultimately by the end of the year. So let's talk about how to estimate how much you're going to owe in tax without overcomplicating things. There's a couple options. Option one is your tax software, whatever you use, if it's TurboTax or even your tax preparer, probably already generated vouchers included in your 2024 tax return. These vouchers would be found in that tax return, the long list of pages, they'll be in there if the software itself picked up that you may be anticipated to owe $1,000 or more on next year's tax return due to what unfolded for 2024 taxes. So if you owed in 2024, it's probably reasonable to expect that you have vouchers in that tax return that was prepared for 2024. Option two, let's say their vouchers are not in there, or this is the first time you're filing taxes. Option two is you could do a forward-looking projection based on the expected income that you're going to have coming in for the tax year. There's a couple ways that you could do this, but it starts with first, we have to track what your income is going to be and what your expenses are going to be if you're 1099 or if you're self-employed, because your revenue that comes in minus the business expenses, that is the taxable income that you're going to need to be preparing to pay taxes on. That's something that we could back into if you have an idea of what your estimated income is going to be per quarter or per month, however you want to break it down. But we also need to know per quarter, which we'll talk about the dates here in a second, approximately how much of that net income is going to hit during that period. So we know approximately how much to pay in tax. So that's something you could do on your own with finding that income information and finding that expense information, doing those projections. You could also use tax software to assist with this or work with a CPA for a mid-year projection. If you're one of our tax clients at SLP Wealth, where we do tax planning and tax filings, we do mid-year projections just for, you know, exactly for this purpose, to figure out, are we on track with what we're already withholding this year, or do we need to catch up so we're not going to owe at the end of the year, or so we can avoid penalties as much as possible. You want to make sure that you're also accounting for big income shifts. So if you're going to be expecting a big bonus at the end of the year, or if you're going to have some stocks vesting at certain periods throughout the year, or if you're going to sell a property, real estate sale, that could come into play when we're talking about capital gains income. A pro tip here, if we're slightly overpaying, then that might be considered better, I would say. If we're overpaying in taxes, probably better because it prevents underpayment of penalties and it does build a buffer for next year's tax liabilities. And if we're saving and preparing and, you know, we're paying taxes and we are getting a refund, again, that's good because we're avoiding these underpayment penalties and fees. We also don't want to be getting a massive refund. That means we way overpaid. So there is this balance, right, where we don't want to be owing a lot, because that means we're probably going to be paying some penalties and fees on the difference of what we did pay and what we were supposed to pay. We also don't want to get a massive refund, though, because that means we kind of loaned the government a lot of money over the course of the year and we're getting it back interest free. So there is a balance, and this can be considered as hard thinking about it this way, or thinking about taxes in general, because we are doing a lot of estimating over the course of the year. So you may not know exactly how much you're going to earn over the course of the year. So this does take some, I would say, educated guessing when it comes to projections. There is also a free resource on the IRS website. If you simply Google IRS withholdings calculator, it will pull up. It's on the IRS website, where if you are really anybody who's earning income, you can go through this calculator. It's a self-directed calculator. It will ask you questions about your income, and if you have a spouse, your spouse's income. And if you're somebody who gets paychecks on a regular basis, you might want to have a recent paycheck in hand. Or if you're somebody who's going to have bonuses in the future, like throughout the year, you might want to get an estimate of what those bonuses are going to be, or what your future income is going to be if you're 1099 or self-employed. Be prepared is all I'm saying here when you're about to look at this calculator, because it's going to ask you a lot of questions about your income to help give you an estimate for what you should owe by the end of the year, or what you should get back as a refund if you are overpaying into the tax system right now. And it will generate a W-4. A W-4 form is something that you could submit to your employer if you're a W-2 employee that tells the payroll company, hey, here's how you should be estimating my taxes. So it does generate that form to help you get that more accurate. It'll ask you about tax status. So if you're filing jointly or separately, that's going to be important when it's calculating that. And if you're married, you'll want to do this in conjunction with what your spouse's pay stub is saying too, to make sure that the W-2s are kind of coordinating and they're estimating the best they can, taking into account each of your income for the year. So very handy tool, but you could also use it as a 1099 person or a self-employed person. It'll help you estimate what the tax cost is going to be. If you need a free resource, that's there. What happens if you don't pay, or if you underpay taxes over the course of the year? Well, there's going to be IRS penalties and interest. There could be an underpayment penalty even if you pay in full by April 15th. So let's say you do your taxes, but oh shoot, we owe $6,000 in tax. And you know, we did not pay estimated taxes this past year. That is what we owe. It's due by April 15th. You go ahead and you make that $6,000 payment. You are not avoiding the underpayment penalties, or they're not being waived, because it was still late. You underpaid over the course of the year by $6,000. And there may also be state-level penalties that apply as well. What can you do? Well, you can catch up. If you missed a Q1 payment or a quarter, Q1, Q2, that just means quarter one, quarter two, you could catch up, but interest does start kicking in as soon as a payment is missed for that particular quarter. And they know, or they've estimated, that you should have paid tax for that quarter. So let's talk about the expense of this a little bit more, the penalties or the underpayment fees. So again, if you pay in full, even if you pay in full what you owe by April 15th, the IRS was still expecting you to make payments throughout the year. They treat it as a loan, essentially, and they charge interest and penalties on what you didn't pay when you earned that income throughout the past year. The penalty rate can range, or it can roughly range between 3 and 8% annualized, depending on the current interest rates. It's set quarterly by the IRS, so you can look that up on the IRS website. As of earlier this year, it was about 8%, so it was kind of high earlier this year. But again, 8% annualized, so that doesn't mean 8% clean, like right then and there. It's calculated on the amount that you should have paid each quarter but didn't. So just on what we didn't pay at all, the difference. If you paid something, great, you're not going to be penalized on what you already paid, but the difference of what you should have paid and what you did pay, what was not paid, that's what's going to be penalized. That's what the penalties will be based off of. And penalties do compound over time. So the longer you're late, the more it adds up as an extra cost when it comes to paying your taxes. And again, the penalty is not waived just because we pay it all by April 15th, unfortunately. So let's go through an example on what this looks like in real life. Let's say you're a high income W-2 employee, but you have a side hustle. And in 2024, your tax bill is $20,000. So you must have had some good side hustle money to be owing tax about $20,000. That's great. But you owe $20,000. You didn't make any estimated payments throughout the year. You file on April 15th and you pay the full $20,000. Great. You owed $20,000. You paid it all right then and there. But the IRS expected $5,000 per quarter. So they're taking that $20,000, just dividing it by the four quarters. They were expecting $5,000 per quarter. So the result here is you could owe around $400 to $800 in penalties and interest, depending on when they considered each payment late and the interest rate for that year. Because remember, the interest rate can change from quarter to quarter. But $400 to $800 in penalties and interest for not paying that over the course of the year. So it's basically an unavoidable late fee for not paying in the rhythm that the IRS expects you to pay. And that's just on the federal side. State level penalties might also apply. So many states do follow a very similar quarterly payment structure. They'll try to conform to the federal. Usually that's usually nice when they do. But if you owe state taxes and you don't pay quarterly, you might also face interest that's set by your state. And sometimes the state can be higher than the IRS, which is stinky. Or it could be a flat penalty or a percentage of the underpaid tax. You might get a surprise bill later, even if the federal taxes are all squared away, because maybe it takes the state a little bit to catch up. This is why it's important to pay as you go versus pay as one lump sum at the end of the year or April 15th. You can still do that, but just know that you're paying a little extra. You're paying a little bit of interest, a little bit of fees that you could have avoided by paying as you go. We didn't talk about when are the quarters actually, when do those key dates and logistics actually kick in? So let's actually get to that. That's a very key part of this conversation. So if you're someone who's going to owe tax, you know you're going to owe tax. The due dates for 2025, Q1 was April 15th. So if you earned income that was not taxed in quarter one of this year, or for the first 3 months of the year, April 15th was the due date for the estimated tax to be paid on that. If you are late, that's okay. Just pay soon. Pay soon because it does take into account when it was late. So if you pay relatively soon after, the penalties and the interest will be low. Q2 is June 17th. Q3 is September 16th. And Q4 is January 15th in 2026. So it's not exactly lining up with the quarter schedule if you were to just look at a calendar and think about quarters. It's a little off from that. It always has been. But I'll repeat that again. Q1 was due April 15th. Q2 is due June 17th. Q3 is September 16th. And Q4 is January 15th of 2026. If this applies to you, go ahead and put those dates on your calendar right now as a reminder. How to pay is pretty easy. You could pay directly on the IRS Direct Pay website. Make sure it is specifically the IRS approved website. There's an option to elect that it's an estimated payment for 2025. Make sure you're paying towards 2025. And if you're paying state estimated taxes, the state itself will have its own portal if required, right? If your state doesn't have income tax, don't worry about it. But again, set calendar reminders or automate the tax payments, maybe through tax software, if you're using someone or using a CPA or a bookkeeper. That's a way that you could stay on track. And those are the important key dates to have in mind when it comes to when those things are due. All right. Quarterly taxes might seem like a pain. And maybe this is the first time you're hearing about it or learning about them. Maybe this is something that's going to help you save a couple hundred dollars a year. You know, it's not the end of the world if you haven't been doing this in the past. It just means that you've been paying a little bit more than you'd need to when it comes to tax time. So if you are someone who wants to be a little more proactive about setting aside saving taxes and paying taxes on an ongoing basis to avoid some of these penalties that can add up, and just to also like kind of build it into your budget, then I would say ask your planner or your CPA to help you like build this into your plan, your financial plan, if you have one for your planner or your CPA. Now, I probably drummed up a little bit of anxiety or some unease when I'm talking about these penalties, and you're probably trying to figure out, shoot, how do I get this exactly right to avoid those things? Well, good thing is there is a safe harbor rule. If you're trying to avoid penalties on your quarterly estimated tax payments, there is a key rule that you need to know, this IRS safe harbor rule. Basically, what it says is if you pay at least 100% of the tax owed last year, so if you're looking at your 2024 tax return, take a look at how much you owed in tax and paid in tax for 2024. If you pay at least that and your income is lower than $150,000, you are fine. If you're paying at least that for the year, and you probably won't know this until closer towards end of 2025, but if you're looking at a pay stub or you're looking at how much you're going to pay quarterly over the course of this 2025 year, if you're paying at least 100% of the total tax you owed last year, making less than $150,000 a year, you're good. You're going to avoid these penalties and interest. If you're someone whose adjusted gross income is over $150,000, then 110% of the tax that you paid last year is your safe harbor. So this just means that the IRS is not going to generally penalize you, even if you owe at the end of the year, if you meet one of these thresholds. If you paid 100% of the total tax you owed last year, making less than $150,000, or if you're over $150,000 adjusted gross income, you paid at least 110% of what you owed, then that's basically saying, like, in good faith, you tried to get as close as possible, and they're not going to be charging the penalties and interest. And this matters because income can certainly be unpredictable, especially if you're self-employed or have big bonuses or unexpected bonuses, right? That's always really exciting. Or side income from 1099 opportunities or gigs or even investing. Like, these income sources can certainly be unpredictable, which makes it hard to know exactly how much you should pay in tax. That's why there's almost always a refund or an amount owed at the end of tax season to true up with the IRS. So this safe harbor just gives you a predictable target to help you avoid underpayment penalties. So take a look at that rule or talk with your CPA or your planner about that in particular to know about where yours should be for the year to help you avoid unnecessary penalties and interest. I actually have an example I can go through to kind of bring this to light, bring it home. So let's say you made $200,000 last year. You owed $30,000 in federal income tax. This year, your income is trending higher though. Maybe you're about to make $275,000 with some of the bonuses or the extra income you have coming in. Great. That's awesome. To avoid penalties, your safe harbor situation is you should aim to pay 110% of what you owed last year, $30,000. So you owed last year $30,000. You want to aim to pay 110% of that. So that works out to $33,000 through either your withholdings and your paycheck over the course of the year or quarterly estimates this year. It doesn't matter if you actually owed $40,000. So let's say you make $275,000, you owed $40,000. Oh no, we only paid $33,000, so we still owe $7,000. That's okay, because we paid at least 110% of what we owed last year. That's what that protection gives us. It gives us that buffer where it's either 100% if we're making less than $150,000. This example, we were making $200,000. So we needed to shoot for the 110% calculation of the tax that we owed last year. So hopefully that makes sense. Maybe rewind and listen to that one more time to make sure that it does hit home. But if you do need to help figuring out your exact number, that's where your CPA comes in or where your advisor could try to help you just kind of run the math to make sure you have a good idea of what that looks like. Last kind of thing, we talked about the quarters being April 15th, quarter one was due last week. By the time you're listening to this, if you know that, oh shoot, I missed that quarterly payment, just know you're not alone. It's the most commonly missed estimated payment because it does correlate with when, the last year's taxes are due. So sometimes it's confusing, it gets missed. But if you did miss it, that's okay. You could still make a payment late. Interest will accrue from the due date until the payment is received. And it's better to pay something late than to skip it altogether. So think about it as rent. Even if you're late, your landlord still expects the money. they might tack on a late fee, but they'll take it. So go ahead and make the payment if you feel like you needed to pay for Q1. And of course, if you have questions about your own tax vouchers and your tax return or your tax estimates for how much you're going to owe or what your game plan should be when it comes to tax planning, that's where a trusted CPA, tax advisor, or enrolled agent could come into play here. So certainly delegate this if this is a point of stress in your life. I know it is for me, so I definitely delegate my taxes. I don't do my own, even though I'm a financial planner. So delegate that or work with a trusted professional, ask the questions and make sure you have the right game plan in place. But hopefully this helped kind of demystify what the heck quarterly payments are and why they might be in your tax return when you're looking at your return documents for this year. And I hope you have a lovely weekend coming up. Hopefully you're not thinking too much about tax this weekend, but enjoy the weekend, enjoy the warmer days to come here, and I'll catch you on the next one.
What if you could get fiduciary financial planning specific to your profession that's student loan aware that could change your life for a price much better than you ever dreamed possible? If that sounds good to you, go to slpwealth.com/pod for a free, no obligation 15-minute intro call with one of our own fiduciary financial planners to see if we could be a good fit for you. This podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered individualized investment advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, do not consider it a recommendation to buy or sell the investment. Seek first advice from a financial professional before implementing any strategies discussed. All investments involve risk, and past performance does not guarantee future results. Yay, compliance.